Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It is the most wonderful time of the year, arguably, for football fans. We just got done talking about some of those college football rivalry games that have a huge impact on the CFP a moment ago. And now it's time to pivot towards the Thanksgiving Day games. A full day of turkey, which, by the way, we will power rank our favorite Thanksgiving foods coming up in 20 minutes. You know what my number one is. Where does it go from there? I don't know. It's part of the fun. NFL Survivor, with it being a double pick week as well, is an important part of what's going on over the next few days. If you're still alive, we'll get into that in about 40 minutes as well. But a full day of football tomorrow. You got a Black Friday game included as well in Philly between the Bears and the Eagles alongside Kate Constable. I'm Chris Mack, here to get you ready for all of them here on Bet Sweats, in for Joe O and Sammy P. Let's start in Detroit, Kate. We've talked about this game multiple times already this week, and I hate to make things any more simplified than they need to be, but I think we've both come around to the idea that 2.5 is probably too short on this one for each of us. Lions favored by 2.5 at home against the Packers. I don't know if that's a bunch of people in the market being scared off by the Lions' battle with the Giants last week that had to go to overtime. I don't know if that's too much of a belief in the Packers. I don't know if that's weighted based on their week one matchup, which the Packers handled, granted, at Lambeau. You could take all those things into consideration, I think, and I still come back around to, I'm sorry, this is the Lions at home against a secondary that I still have some questions about, regardless of how good the pass rush may be for Green Bay. And the Lions at home. I'll just rattle off the point totals in home games for the Lions. 52, 34, 24 against Tampa. Only 24 against the Vikings in what was a weird loss, a little bit of an anomaly. 34 against the Giants. The Lions at home are a different animal. They are 7-4 this year, but two of those losses came on the road on grass, which is a large variable for this Lions team. It just is. So I still like the Lions, especially if I'm laying less than a field goal. I don't know if I can be talked off of this.
Chris, there are some lines I look at and I'm like, that is a really fishy line. And then there are other lines that I look at that I just say that line's just flat out wrong. And that's what it feels like with this one. And I don't blame the books. Like, if you put a 3.5 out there, people are going to gobble that up with the Packers. Like, this is still a division game on national TV. Like, the Packers defense is still very good. So, like, you can't really make this. Maybe you can make it 3, and maybe it does go to 3 before kickoff. But I think 2.5, you have to lay it with the Lions. I actually like the fact that they struggled a little bit against the Giants last week, because Dan Campbell, the ultimate motivator in the NFL, like, he knows how to rally his players after a even though it was a win, it was somewhat of a poor performance all around. I know Jahmyr Gibbs went absolutely off, but the way the run game is looking for the Lions right now, you just rattled off all the points that they score at home, like their offense gets going. I think this is a spot where you have to back Detroit at -2.5 under a field goal.
So here's a question for you and an exercise I think that's important to go through with just about 24 hours to go until kickoff. You mentioned 3.5. 3.5 would be a completely different animal if we're right. talking about this game. We're not going to get there. But with the way the 2.5 is juiced right now, there is a possibility we could get to 3 before kickoff tomorrow afternoon. This is the 1 p.m. game. So again, we're just a little more than 24 hours away from kickoff. If this got to 3, would you be willing to buy the Packers?
No.
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 It's got to be the hook.
Still no. No. Got to be the hook. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Chris, I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions won this by a touchdown. And not to say that, like, they're that much better than this Packers team, but I just like the spot for the Lions, too. Being at home, yeah. you already lost to the Packers once this season. You kind of got embarrassed in that first game of the year, and it had everyone questioning whether the Lions were legit. Like, Dan Campbell's going to go back to that game and talk to his team about that for sure. He struggled against a Jameis Winston-led Giants team last week. Like, Giants team. This Lions team is not like it's playing its best football right now and can take any game for granted. And, you know, like, they're going to be ultra focused in this one.
Yeah, I tend to side with you. I would even, it would probably be against my better judgment, but I would even lay the 3.5 if it were to get there. It's not going to, but I'm totally comfortable with Detroit in this situation. The afternoon game in Dallas, the Chiefs visiting the Cowboys. At BetMGM, it is still 3 -115. Chiefs -3 -115. There's a couple -120s on the 3-point spread out there as well, which is why some books have gone to 3.5, although that 3.5 is heavily juiced on the Cowboys side if you get the hook. This is another one where we're playing around with a field goal here, obviously a key number, but here's the thing. I don't know if I take a side in this one or I take a step back and go, wait, the total's at 52. The Dallas defense, I understand, has improved somewhat in the last few weeks. But this is still the Chiefs. This is still, we would presume, we're going to have Worthy. We're going to have Rice. The Chiefs found a bit of a running game last week. First 100-yard rusher of the year. Kareem Hunt had to carry it 30 times, I think, to get there. But that was my biggest question mark for the Chiefs over this past month or so when we've been questioning whether they can work their way back into the AFC playoff picture was, can they find some balance on offense so that teams can't tee off on Patrick Mahomes? And I think they've started to find it just a little bit. And again, the Cowboys, as much as they may have improved a bit over the last few weeks, especially against the run, I think it's an opportunity for Andy Reid and the Chiefs to go in there with a balanced attack, lean on the run game a little bit more than we've seen from them at any point this year. I don't know if I'm comfortable laying certainly not comfortable laying 3.5, maybe the 3. I look more at the total, and I think I go over the 52 in Chiefs-Cowboys.
That's where I would go with this one as well. I mean, the Cowboys have given up an average of 29 points per game in their 5 home games this year. And all of a sudden you have a Chiefs offense that has some confidence after how they played last week. I also wonder, like, this is what's keeping me off the side is do the Chiefs, like, they saw one go through the hoop last week. You know, you use that analogy a lot in basketball, like any shooter, you just need to see one go in. And like, maybe that was that for the Chiefs, but at the same time, I mean, a lot of emotional toll having to come back from down like they did against the Colts. You could also say the same thing against the Cowboys. Like, they had to come back from down big against the Eagles last week. So, like, that kind of balances the playing field a little bit. I lean towards the Chiefs laying the points. I think this Kansas City team is going to be a different Chiefs team than we saw through the first, week 12? 12 weeks of the season, where this last stretch is going to be just a dominant Patrick Mahomes. And you have a Cowboys defense that I think people are maybe overvaluing right now based on their last two performances, but you get a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes in there, and I think he can kind of carve that defense up a little bit, kind of reverting them back to what we saw earlier in the season.
Yeah, I think it's a good point about the overreaction to the Cowboys defense maybe finding their sea legs a little bit, because there was nowhere to go but up. And right. So any even incremental improvement can get a little bit overblown in people's minds. I tend to side with you. If I had to lean one way or the other, it would be Kansas City, but I think the play is going to be on the over tomorrow in Dallas. Cincy, Baltimore, this is a massive game for a lot of reasons. Baltimore has fought and scratched and clawed their way back to the top of the AFC North. They've had a good bit of help from an inconsistent Steelers team, but they find themselves back firmly in the playoff picture and now controlling their own destiny atop the AFC North. The Bengals, though, obviously getting Joe Burrow back. There are some 6.5s out there, which if I was feeling okay about the Ravens in this one, I might consider laying 6.5 because there is a question about the Joe Burrow rust factor. There is a question about T. Higgins being out. And the Bengals defense is still, newsflash, still the Bengals defense and possibly one of the worst of the last quarter century. So you roll all that up and stack it against a Ravens offense that hasn't been able to find a ton of consistency. I think that's the push-pull here. Not so much can Burrow go out there and look like Burrow. I think Burrow can. It's can the Ravens find some consistency on offense? They just haven't been able to. They were in a dogfight with the Jets for the first half last week at home. So if I had to go one side or the other, I lean Cincy plus 7. It's juiced in a couple spots, not a terrible number. Maybe it ends in a push. I don't think we get to 7.5, though, before kick tomorrow night.
I like the Bengals plus 7. The Joe Burrow factor could go either way. Like, either he could be extremely rusty and this could all be for nothing, basically him coming back, or he could absolutely ball out and be the Joe Burrow that throws 3 or 4 touchdown passes in this game. I kind of like the over more so in this one, Chris. I know you talked about the Ravens Ravens offense rather being shaky and inconsistent, but if they could get to like, I don't know, if they could get to 27 points, like I would imagine the Bengals, and against this Bengals defense, I think they could. I would imagine the Bengals with Joe Burrow back are going to be able to put up a couple touchdowns as well and do their part in getting over this number. So 51.5 feels, I don't want to say too low, but I would only lean towards the over and not, certainly not an under here with the Bengals defense being what it is. And I, honestly, like of all quarterbacks coming back, like Joe Burrow's kind of a psycho. And I kind of like that. Like, I think the guy's just a weird guy. Like, did you see his press conference yesterday? He's got the headband in. He looks like he's just like lived in a cave for the last couple months. Like,
he tweeted out a picture or put it up on Instagram the other day of him in his old Cavs jersey when he was in, I guess, high school.
Like, it's just weird. It's weird, but I like that in a quarterback. And I trust Joe Burrow more than I trust most quarterbacks, even if he hasn't played since week 2.
I will say this, too. Baltimore's run defense, which we usually think of as pretty stout, is middle of the pack this year. And Chase Brown, despite the Bengals being on this 4-game losing streak, in 3 of their last 5 games has gone for just about 100 yards. 107 against the Patriots, 99 against the Steelers in a loss, and 108 3 weeks before that against the Steelers as well. Now, you could look at that and say, Steelers' run defense has been poop most of the year. I'm not sure if I'm banking on Chase Brown doing that again, but if you're talking about not asking Joe Burrow to go out and win the game. I think if Zach Taylor has any brains whatsoever, he's not going to ask Joe Burrow to drop back and throw it 40, 45 times. He's going to look for more balance on offense, especially given that they do believe in Chase Brown as a breakout. He's caught a lot of footballs over the last few weeks as well. Against the Bears a couple weeks ago, he had 14 targets, ended with 8 catches for 75 yards. Chase Brown props may definitely be a look when we get to play in this game. The over might not be a bad idea with the total sitting at 51.5, though. You might pull me in that direction despite the Ravens' struggles on offense. Black Friday afternoon in Philly. Bears getting 7 at the Eagles. The Bears are 8-3, and everyone's looking around going, wait, The Chicago Bears? Yes, the Bears are 8-3. You can argue about who they've beaten all you want, but they're 8-3, and the Eagles are coming off the psychic bruise of blowing a 21-point lead at Dallas. Who knows what's happening, what's being said in that locker room right now. Saquon Barkley still hasn't gotten on track this year. If you could get me to 7.5, I'd feel really good. I don't think we're going to get there. I think if you want the Bears, you're going to have to take the 7. And if I'm on the Eagles side, if I think they take care of this one at home, I still can't lay 7. I think it's going to be uncomfortably close for Philly.
I don't want to bet the Bears in this game at all, but I think I have to.
But you're going to.
Like, I think you have to, because we say it every week that, like, how are the Bears continuing to win these games? It's a fourth quarter, last, you know, 2-minute drive to win. Like, can that be sustainable? And the answer is no. And the Bears offense has been inconsistent at times, but this Eagles team, they all hate each other on offense. Like, Jalen Hurts just came out the other day and said, like, we have some serious problems in the locker room. Like, that doesn't give me confidence in betting the Eagles. If anything, I would look towards Saquon props. I know he has not been the Saquon that we saw last year, and certainly not even anything close. But after the fumble in the Cowboys game, you're going up against a bottom 10 run defense in the Bears that is missing a ton of, you know, some of their top linebackers in that second level. That's what concerns me the most. So this is probably a game where I look more towards props than anything else. But I do think the touchdown is a lot. I'll hesitantly look at the Bears plus 7.
I want to see if the Bears can force turnovers against Philly too. It's been their specialty, as you mentioned, all year long. It's been the key to them winning games. Philly, best in the league in the giveaway department. They've only given away the ball 6 times this year. If the Bears can't force those turnovers, for example, as they did last week and they've done in other weeks this year, how does that affect what Philly's able to do and maybe getting Saquon on track? We'll get into those games again in about 25 minutes when we look at the survivor markets, a double pick week. But coming up next, food. It's Thanksgiving. What else did we talk about? It's Bet Sweats.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
20 minutes from now, we get back into the NFL slate this weekend. In particular, the fact that it's a double pick week in Survivor. You got your Thursday, Friday games. You got your Sunday, Monday games. So, got to have two different angles, maybe. We'll give you some of the numbers that are out there on who's being used by others, how many of those teams are still available, all coming up in 20 minutes, top of the hour, back into college football, projected spreads for what would be the matchup after this week's CFP rankings. We will take a look at them, see what we think about them, and if they make sense. Plenty of basketball today, again, during Feast Week as well. Big games out in Vegas between St. John's and Auburn, Tennessee and Kansas, Gonzaga and Michigan. We'll touch on each of those before we get you to our favorite plays of the day, lightning bets to wrap up the show. But, Kate, I've done plenty of whining and complaining this week about stuffing and the lack of respect for stuffing. Dressing, if you want to call it that. I know our video producer, Brian Gerch, is very firm in his stand that you cannot call it stuffing if it's not actually shoved into the bird to be cooked. So stuffing, dressing, did that sound weird? Shoving the stuffing into the turkey?
Chris, in my 35 years, I didn't know the difference between stuffing and dressing. I just thought some people called it dressing, some people called it stuffing. I learned something new this week.
Stovetop can market that stuff in the box as stuffing all they want. If you don't actually shove it into the cavity of the bird, it ain't stuffing. So as uncomfortable as that sounds, I've done plenty of ranting and raving about my love for stuffing this week. And we thought, well, what the hell? There's lots of great food this time of year at Thanksgiving. So it's a Wednesday here on Bet Sweats. That means we got to power rank something. Let's power rank our favorite Thanksgiving foods and get everybody prepared for tomorrow. Kate, I will let you go first.
All right, Chris. We'll start with five and work our way to one, if that's cool,
yes.
Gerch. Number five for me, it's the turkey. You have to have turkey on Thanksgiving. It's not that great. It certainly is not taking up a whole lot of real estate on the plate. That's for sure. So turkey, it's a must, but it's nothing special.
It is the Kirk Cousins of Thanksgiving foods, if we're being honest. You
it
need
really is.
An effective veteran backup quarterback, right? But you spend way too much of your time, energy, and resources on preparing it compared to what it actually ends up tasting like. It's that guaranteed money to Kirk Cousins if you're the Atlanta Falcons. That's what turkey is.
That is a perfect analogy for turkey. Though spending way too much money on it, the capital, the interest you put in on the day. Yeah. All right, number four, I'm going to go corn. This is a side, but this is necessary because you need to mix this in. Like, I like the mashed potatoes with a little gravy, with a little corn mixed in. I don't go full mix, but I do like, you know, a scoop on the fork of the mashed potatoes, a little bit of corn, a little bit of gravy, and do it that way. Full mix is absolutely insane.
No, if you're doing the full mix, you're either 3 years old or a lunatic.
Yeah. Fair. Those are the only two options. Here is something that three-year-olds also eat, Chris. My mom, I don't know if a whole lot of people have this, but my mom has made this every year since I've been born. Sweet potato puree. It's essentially baby food, right?
Yeah.
It's basically mashed potatoes, but sweet potatoes in mashed potato form. And you put like 7/6 of butter in it. So it's just like the best. So that's a Constable staple that has to make my list. And it's pretty dang good.
Can we acknowledge that sweet potatoes in general, sorry, Kate, sweet potatoes in general would be nothing without copious amounts of butter. I don't care if it's a baked sweet potato. I don't care if it's like cut up sweet potato cubes roasted in the oven or the air fryer. I don't care if it's your sweet potato puree that Mrs. Constable makes every year for Thanksgiving. Without massive amounts of butter, it's disgusting.
Right. And I think maybe there's even a little brown sugar mixed in there.
Oh, yeah.
This is a weird story, but my mail lady, so I live in Chicago. I live in a high rise. Yeah. We have like a mail receiving room, right? So I go to pick up my packages the other day, and it smells really nice in the mailroom. And my mail lady, love her, she's making sweet potatoes in the back. So she
at work in the mailroom, she's making sweet potatoes. That's amazing.
So she hands me a sweet potato, and she's like, "Here, try it." It was just a dry baked sweet potato. What are we doing? I can't eat that.
Bonus points. Bonus points. I know some people that do the marshmallows on top.
Nope, it's absolutely not. No. No. that brings a whole different taste, a whole different flavor. Hard pass on the marshmallows on top.
Well, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, apparently. Well, we might not be friends after this one, Chris, because number two, I'm going stuffing. I know we talked about this a ton, and I do think stuffing is phenomenal. But if there's one thing I have to have on my Thanksgiving plate, it's mashed potatoes. And I make them every year, and they're phenomenal. So and maybe that's a little biased because I do make them every year. But mashed potatoes has to trump stuffing for me. Mashed potatoes just feels like a Thanksgiving. Well, I suppose stuffing does too, because literally you only eat it on Thanksgiving, like we've talked about. But I have to, I mean, that's my college football playoff ranking right there.
Wow.
Mashed potatoes over stuffing.
You just pulled a CFP committee. You basically said, well, we just like this one better than the other. So for reasons that don't really make sense, we're going to make it number one.
No rhyme or reason. Wow. We just, you know, the strength of schedule for mashed potatoes over the course of my life has been a little bit stronger than stuffing.
Well, mashed potatoes show up more often, you know? They're not seasonal. Sure. They don't come around all the time, which is not stuffing's fault, damn it. The disrespect for stuffing continues. All right. So Kate's got mashed potatoes one, stuffing two, sweet potato puree number three, corn number four, turkey number five. I will start in a similar way at number five with turkey, but not any part of the turkey. It's got to be the dark meat. The dark meat is the only part of the bird that retains any moisture whatsoever. White meat, you may as well be eating sawdust. And there are going to be people out there that jump into the chat and the comments and go, well, you just don't know how to make turkey. No, it's turkey. The white meat, the breast meat is, I don't care. You could baste it every 5 minutes. You could work on it all day. It's not going to come out as good as the dark meat. I mentioned it yesterday. There is nothing better than waking up on Friday or Saturday and there's still a turkey leg left over and I pull it out of the fridge and I just walk around my living room like a damn Viking, biting pieces of dark meat off, watching college football. The best part of the bird is the dark meat. And so that comes in at number five. Now,
Chris, also the dark meat the next day is still moist. Like that's the good part of the bird the next day too, because if the breast meat is going to be dry on Thanksgiving, it's going to be extra dry on Friday.
Yeah. Think about what you got to do to that leftover white meat to make it edible for leftovers. Like I'll put it between a couple pieces of toast or bread, but I got to slather it in mayo and there's just too much work. It's white meat. It has no moisture. It's sawdust.
Yep.
Number four, pie. And I'm being very general here for a reason. When I mentioned pie as number four at Thanksgiving, because there really could be a ranking within a ranking here. And I could tell you how pumpkin is number one. Don't at me, bro. Number two, pecan pie, a good pecan pie. My God. I won't eat anything else on Thanksgiving if there's a good pecan pie around. Number three, apple. There are other pies worth considering, and I can tell by the disgusted look on your face, Kate, that you don't agree with this whatsoever, but pie belongs at number four.
Pie is a Thanksgiving staple, so I understand having it on there. I do not understand people that like pecan pie. You're basically eating, like, almond pie.
No, they're like, pecans. Oh, see, you haven't had it done right. I'm gonna do that thing that I just complained about people saying about turkey, and I'm gonna say you just haven't had pecan pie done right.
Which is probably right because I have never been attracted to pecan pie. Like that just doesn't sound good to me. If there are other like sweet desserts, I will always take that over. So I maybe only had a couple bites of pecan pie in my entire life. So I probably haven't had it right. But like, also, it just doesn't sound good. Same with pumpkin pie.
Got it. Now you're just being blasphemous and anti-American if you're going to talk crap.
Apple pie, I can get on board with, like blueberry. And there's some sweetness to it, but like, if I do pumpkin pie, you got to get like a little whipped cream or ice cream on the side, and I'll eat it like that. But eating it plain pumpkin pie or plain pecan pie is crazy.
Again, with leftovers being such a crucial part of Thanksgiving food, I will happily walk to the fridge on Friday morning or Saturday morning and literally just grab a slice of pumpkin pie with my bare hand and walk around eating it with a cup of coffee for breakfast.
You sound like a real treat on the day after Thanksgiving, Chris. You've got the turkey leg in one
hand. You
sound
like a slob, Chris. Why are you walking around eating food barehanded around your house?
No utensils. Like, your house must just be a disaster.
Now you know why my wife has to clean constantly, because I'm a pig. Okay, so pie is number four. Number three has to be mac and cheese. And none of this Kraft mac and cheese crap. You got to get a good mac and cheese. Maybe even some breadcrumb crust or something on top. No potato chip crust. That's just half-assed. A good breadcrumb crust on top of the mac and cheese retains the moisture underneath. Lots of cheesiness. A good crunchy crust on top to give it some texture. You got to have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving dinner as well. That's number three. Number two, I will agree with you, Kate Constable, that you've got to have mashed potatoes. Yeah. It's like having a get-back coach on the sideline. It makes sure nothing gets out of control. The corn falls into it, the gravy, everything. And mashed potatoes is the locker room guy. It's the glue guy. He walks in, everybody listens, and everybody goes out there because they want to win one for mashed potatoes. So mashed potatoes is worthy of the number two. I will agree there. It belongs very high in the power rankings. But number
Chris,
one.
You're kind of on fire with analogies.
I really am.
Your Thanksgiving to football analogies have been spot on.
I don't know where it's come from. I don't know. But it's I am. I'm rolling with it. Number one, I've said this all week. Stuffing, dressing, however you do it. I don't care if you do it in the bird. I don't care if you do it out of the bird. It should be a year-round side dish. There's no reason, people, I'm going to look you dead in the eye, America, right now and tell you, there's no reason we should disrespect stuffing the way that we do. Stuffing should be served year round. I don't care if you're at a cookout on the 4th of July. I don't care if it's Labor Day and you're hanging out with some friends playing cornhole at a tailgate. I don't care. There is always room for stuffing. So please pay stuffing, dressing, whatever you want to call it, the respect it is due. Give it more love. Half of my plate will be stuffing tomorrow, Kate. I cannot wait. And then I'll go back for seconds because there's never any leftover stuffing. That's the one thing. We talk about leftovers at Thanksgiving. What is the one item that you almost never have leftovers of because everybody loves it? Stuffing.
Stuffing, which is great in your case because then you are not eating it with your hands on Friday morning, walking around your house.
That would be a little messier.
That would be messier than the pumpkin pie and the bird. Double D in the chat says,
"Yeah,
how do neither of us have green bean casserole on the list? Disgusting. Disgusting. Not a fan.
I am not a fan either. I have had a little bit of green bean casserole here and there over the years. The problem is when I was a kid, Double D, my mom would make green bean casserole with like cream of mushroom soup. So there would be little bits of mushroom in there. And I would just be no, I can't. Sorry. It could be the best green bean casserole ever, David. I'm not doing green bean casserole. I'm sorry.
You're both communists. That's all I got to say. You're both communists. Green bean casserole.
It's the cream of mushroom soup that grosses me out within it. Like when it kind of gets like chunky and bubbly on top of the green beans, like that's disgusting. Plus, it was never made in my family. Like green bean casserole is not a Thanksgiving dish in the Constable house.
You're naming all the things that I love about green bean casserole. Yeah. Once again, I make it a little different than everybody else. I put a little Philly cream cheese in there, make it a little more unctuous. Yeah. For me, it's number one on my list, but yeah, you're both communists for not having it on there.
I can get on board with
the little fried onions on top?
Yeah. If you do it with like a breadcrumb crust, maybe I might be able to get more on board. I'm not a big fan of the French fried onions on top either. I'm sorry. I know.
Yeah.
David's disgusted with us right now.
Hard pass. Hard pass.
Low key dessert. I didn't mention this, and I don't know if this is a Pittsburgh thing or not. Strawberry pretzel jello salad. You get strawberry Jell-O. You mix strawberries in with the Jell-O. And then you put like a strawberry kind of icing on top. And then you cover the thing with pretzel crumbs. Oh, my God. A little dollop of whipped cream on top, served cold. It's delicious.
Absolutely not.
Kate's absolutely disgusted. Not. You may be disgusted with what you got on the board for Survivor this week. It's a double pick week. Where do we go? Not just for Thursday and Friday, but Sunday and Monday as well. We dive into it next here on Bet Sweats.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list. At prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So now I'm hungry because we just got done power ranking Thanksgiving foods. Save myself for tomorrow. Coming up top of the hour, we get back into college football, taking a look at projected spreads on what would be the CFP matchups as of right now based on the bracket the committee just released last night. Obviously, things are going to change in that bracket. Like, is Miami even in? Other things as well. But we'll take a look at the numbers and see if we necessarily agree with them and if they make sense to us as we quickly accelerate towards a massive rivalry weekend. We got to get into Ohio State, Michigan at the top of the hour as well. Could Michigan still get in as an at-large with a win over Ohio State, since it would be the best win in the country all year? Some college hoops being played today as well, not just some. A lot. It's feast week and a lot of action all over the country, especially in Vegas with St. John's, Auburn, Tennessee, Kansas, Tennessee fresh off the upset over Houston yesterday, Gonzaga, Michigan, and both teams have looked really good in that tournament so far, all before we get to lightning bets. But it's a double pick week, Kate, in Survivor, which means you got to find somebody on the Thursday, Friday card, and then you got to find somebody on the Sunday, Monday portion of the slate as well. Dove into some numbers, went to poolgenius.com, and I'll just throw out some of the numbers here. The Eagles so far, this is as of yesterday, Eagles were the most selected team, 57%, Ravens 31%, and then you drop off real big to Chiefs 4%, Bears 3%, Lions 2%, Bengals 1%, Cowboys 1%, Green Bay less than 1%. Now, I should note, because we're both, I shouldn't say heavily, but both very much on the side of the Lions tomorrow. Mm-hmm. This is also with just 18% of remaining pools having the Lions left and available to them. So a lot of people have already burned the Lions. A lot of people have already burned the Ravens. But those that haven't are definitely willing to go in on them. Surprisingly, Eagles still 82% available in survivor pools. That somewhat surprised me, which may account for them being the most popular selection this weekend, at least in the first segment of survivor in week 13. Not surprising, I don't think, that Green Bay is less than 1%, Cowboys 1%, Bengals at 1% being 89% available, 89% of pools still having the Bengals available. If I were out on the Eagles, if I had already burned them, if I were out on the Chiefs and had already burned them, this would be a weekend on the Thursday, Friday, first portion of the week 13 slate where I might look at the Bengals, especially as an opportunity to zig while everyone else is zagging in Survivor.
Like, yeah, if you were really bold, that would be the move to make if you really wanted to hopefully knock out the majority of your pool and still be alive. That would be the way to do it. And I think that's the game that has the most variables because you don't know what Joe Burrow is going to look like, right? Like, we feel like we kind of know what's going to happen in the other games, but like that Bengals-Ravens game could go completely sideways. And it's not as easy as, okay, they're a big favorite. Like, what happens every year, week one? Everyone takes the heaviest favorites and someone always loses. So I don't hate the look on the Bengals. It's interesting that I know all season long people were saving the Chiefs for Thanksgiving. Like, that was the thing, is kind of save the Chiefs, save the Lions, but available in 54% and only 4% are taking the Chiefs. That shows the faith that the public has in this Chiefs team right now, which is not as high as I think we all thought it would be at this point in the season.
Well, I think it comes back, you know, when we handicapped the sides on this game at the top of the hour, you can look at both as far as who's taking who in Survivor right now and see the lack of faith in a side on this game based on the Cowboys are 75% available in pools as well, but only 1% taking them. Like you said, Chiefs, 54% available, only 4% taking them. I think a lot of people are going into that Chiefs-Cowboys game going, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. I mean, it's very much an opportunity for recent narrative to maybe trump season-long track record. But even if that's the case, what does that give us? Does that give us, like we talked about, a high-scoring shootout between Mahomes and Prescott, and it's just whichever team has the ball last? I think all of that is coming together to sort of paint that as the most muddied game of the first half of the weekend, if not the entire weekend.
Yeah, that's the one that I feel like I have the least confident handle on, of knowing what's going to happen or what to predict in that one. I also think, I mean, as much as I do think the Bears can cover 7, like, the Eagles should win that game. If the defending Super Bowl champs, like, if you think you're a Super Bowl team again, which we all, I think a lot of people would say that, yeah, the Eagles top team in the NFC, second best team, maybe behind the Rams in the NFC, like, they're a playoff team for sure. Obviously they're going to win the division. The 57% of people who have taken the Eagles, I think that's probably the safest play of all, if there is any. And that's even with us being very confident in the Lions, Chris. Like, we talked earlier in the show, like, 2.5, yeah, lay it. 3, yeah, lay it. I even said I think the Lions could win by a touchdown. But I still would take the Eagles for survivor over the Lions.
As for the second half of the weekend, we've got one team that people clearly are favoring in Survivor. It's the Chargers. They are 72% available and 40% of the selections. Again, these numbers coming into us from Pool Genius as of yesterday. 47% had taken the Chargers. The Chargers this weekend are at home against the Raiders. The Raiders are coming off a terrible game against the Browns. Geno got sacked 10 times. There's just not a lot of hope out there right now.
They just fired a couple of coordinators too, right?
Yeah, they fired Chip Kelly after that game. So it's a mess in Vegas right now. The Chargers, though, have had an up and down nature to their season as well, especially given all the injuries. The offensive line is being held together with duct tape and paper clips right now, and probably will be for the majority of what's left of the season. An ugly loss against the Jags is what they're coming off of. Three wins before that, though, including an impressive one defensively against the Steelers. But that's where I would look at the Chargers and wonder if this is just a team that's kind of, I don't know, playing in accordance with the level of quarterback that they're facing. I'm not saying I don't believe in them to beat the Raiders. And I think if you look at the rest of their schedule, this is probably your best chance for the Chargers. If you haven't used them yet, yeah, this would be the week. So it all aligns to make sense for why almost 50% of polls have them in the back half of a double pick week. I wouldn't feel totally comfortable given it's a division game, but the Raiders are a mess, and I think it does make a ton of sense as to why the Chargers are 47% picked.
I can't argue with you on any of that. The other one that I would look at that, I think to your point of when else would you want to use the Chargers is when else do you really want to use Jacksonville if you have them left for the rest of the season? Unless, I guess, looking at their schedule, that would be week 18 against the Titans again. If you were still alive then. Like, so they play the Titans this week. I would imagine they can beat the Titans. They are 6.5-point favorites and 90% available Jacksonville right now. Only 17% of people are playing them. That's a little surprising to me against the Titans. Like, I don't know. I feel like that is a fairly, again, nothing safe in betting or the NFL, but that seems like a fairly safe one that I would look at for the Sunday, Monday portion of week 13.
Yeah, I think if you haven't used Jacksonville yet and they're still 90% available, I think that's a good point you make about maybe holding off on them until you get to week 18, because week 18 is always a crapshoot as far as who's going to have what to play for. I think we can count on the fact that Jacksonville is going to have to win in week 18, and you're getting the
worst.
Yeah, you're getting the worst team in the NFL. You're getting them at home, because some of the other matchups that you look at in week 18 that you say, okay, that should be like Philly's playing Washington. Philly may be secure in their spot. You look at New England against Miami. New England might have locked up the one seed by then. Denver against the Chargers, I don't know. Kansas City against Vegas. That might be one that if you haven't burned the Chiefs, you might want to hold off on for week 18. But I think as far as looking at season-long strategy, if you haven't used the Jags yet, again, 90% available, that might explain to an extent why they're only getting used 17% of pools so far this week. The Dolphins are still 98% available in Survivor.
which is not surprising at all.
Not at all. And they are being used by 13% of Survivor picks so far this week. They have got the Saints. I would not touch that with somebody else's money, somebody else's Survivor pool. I'm sorry. The Saints are bad, but the Dolphins, I feel like, have a chance to crash back down to earth in a big way.
I was going to say, the Dolphins have to be feeling pretty good about themselves right now. You've won three of your last four. One of those wins was against the Bills in dominant fashion. Yeah, it took overtime against Washington, but if there's ever a time for this Dolphins team that is one of the more undisciplined teams in my mind in the NFL to like have a week where maybe the focus isn't there, the preparation isn't there, I'm going to go ahead and, Chris, say it's this week. So I'm with you. I would not touch that game either. It makes complete sense that the Dolphins have hardly been used in anyone's Survivor League, and I would imagine at the end of the season, because you don't have to use every single team, the Dolphins are still one of the most untouched teams in Survivor.
What's crazy about the Dolphins, aside from the Survivor angle of this, is that if they do beat the Saints, which wouldn't surprise anybody, I don't think, the Saints are the Saints at this point, then they go to New York to face the Jets. Then they go to Pittsburgh on a Monday night to face the Steelers. Then they host the Bengals. I mean, would it be wild for the Dolphins to win three of their next four? And all of a sudden we look up and they're 7-8 going into the final 2 weeks and still have a chance to maybe somehow steal a wild card spot in a really crazy AFC field?
Would it be wild? Yes. because of what I thought and everyone else thought of the Dolphins at the start of the season. Is it realistic that they could do that? Also, yes. Because of the Bucs in
week 17 and they've been banged up. They may play a game that's meaningless for the Patriots in week 18. I mean, talk about going from hot seat to the playoffs would be massive for McDaniel. Back into college football, projected spreads on what would be those CFP matchups right now. We'll do that next right here on BetSweats.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.